Chapter 4, Lyria, Welcome to the Worlds. Sky. That's what my Da would call the roof of stone and metal that stretched over our home in the mine of Logolos. It's what we all used to call it, going back generations of our clan to the first pioneers. The sky be crumbling, the sky needs reinforcing. It stretched over us like a great shield, keeping us safe from the fabled Martian storms raging outside. There were dances for the sky, songs wishing it luck and blessings. I even knew two lasses named for it. But the sky wasn't a shield. It was a lid, a cage. I was 16 years of knobby knees and freckles when I first saw the true sky. Took 6 years from the death of the Sovereign on Lunar for the Rising to push the last of the Goals off our continent of Cimmeria. 2 more years for them to finally free our mind from the Grey Warlord who set up his own little kingdom in their absence. Then the Rising came to Logolos. Our saviors looked more like manic laurel-tied jesters than soldiers draped with trophies of grey and blonde hair and iron pyramid badges. Sling blades and spiked red helmets were painted on their chests, and standing at their front was a weary, bearded red man old enough to be a grandfather. He had a large gun in one hand and in the other a tattered white flag with the 14-pointed morning star. He wept when he saw the bloated bellies and skeletal evidence of our starvation under the Grey Warlord. His gun dropped to the floor, and though he was a stranger to us, he came forward and hugged me. "Sister," he said. Then he hugged the man beside me. "Brother." 4 weeks later, kind-faced men and women wearing white helmets and 14-pointed stars on their chests took us to the surface. I'll never forget their eyes. They were yellow and brown and pink. They had bottles of water, sparkling sweet drinks and candy for the children, and they gave us clunky goggles marked with winged feet to cover our cave eyes from the sun. I didn't want to wear the goggles, rather look at the true sky and its sun with my own eyes. But a kind yellow nurse told me I might lose my sight, so on they went. When the doors of the lift opened, we walked from a basin littered with ships, up metal stairs and out onto an endless plain of tall grass vibrating with the sound of insects. And I saw it. Blue and vast, so large I felt I was falling up into it. The true sky. And there, hanging like a sullen coal on the impossible horizon, was the sun, giving us warmth, filling my eyes with tears, so small I could block it with a thumb. Our sun. My sun. The Republic's relief ships arrived the next morning to bawdy choruses hurled out from the throats of young gallants and lasses. The ships were cleaner than anything I'd ever seen, white as my nephew's baby teeth as they coasted down. On their bellies blazed the Star of the Republic. To us, then, the star meant hope. "Rapa's compliments," a young soldier said as he handed me a chocolate bar. "Welcome to the Worlds, lass. Welcome to the Worlds." On the shuttle away from our mine, a video appeared before each of us, the hologram so lifelike I thought my fingers would touch the gold face that sprung into the air. I'd seen her before, but here above ground on one of her ships, she seemed like a goddess from one of our songs. Virginia, the Lion Heart. Her eyes a terrifying gold, her hair like spun silk held back from her poreless face. She shone brighter than the little coal of a sun, making me feel little more than a shadow of a girl. Child of Mars, welcome to the worlds, the young sovereign began gently. You are about to embark upon a great journey to your rightful place upon the surface of the planet your ancestors built. Your sweat, your blood, and that of your kin gave this planet life. Now it is your turn to share in the bounty of mankind, to live and prosper in this new solar republic and pave a way for the next generation. My heart is with you. The hopes and dreams of people everywhere rise with you. Good luck, and may you and yours find joy under the stars. That was 2 years and 1,000 broken promises ago. Now, under a boiling sun, I hunch over the scant, piddling river beyond Assimilation Camp 121, my back bent and fingers crooked as I rub an abrasive brush into a pair of pants soiled by Ava's work in the slaughter yards where she kills cattle to fill our pot. My arms, once ashen brown like most from Logalos, are wiry and now baked dark by the sun and bitten ragged by the bugs that rise up out of the riverbed mud. The summers of the Sumerian plains are humid and thick with mosquitoes. I swat three away that have found a gap in the lighter flower paste. I'm 18 now, with stubborn baby fat in my cheeks. My hair leaps from my head at a thick tangle, like a rabbit animal trying to escape my skull. I don't blame it. Eyes never rest long on me. The boys on Dad's drill team used to call me Mudbug for the colour of my eyes. Da always said Ava's got the looks in our family. I've just got the temper. Along the riverbank are hard-packed men and women, 20 gammas of my clan humming the ballad of Bloody Mary the Fool. My mother used to hum it as she worked. Rust-red hair bursts from under broad-brimmed hats and head wraps of bright cloth. Off the bank, fishermen lays on boats smoking tobacco as they drag their nets farther into the river. Lambda doesn't let us use the Solar Republic washers in the centre of the camp anymore. Bastards think they have the right, since they are the same clan as the Reaper. Never mind that they're as related to him as I am to bats that come out of the jungle at night to hunt for the camp's mosquitoes. The Solar Republic ships don't come much anymore without a full military escort, what with the Red Hand marauders running mad in the south. Those that do come drop the supplies in little parachute crates from the sky. And the soldiers who actually land in the camp now cradle weapons instead of candy. We see it on the HC news every day. Red Hand raids on helpless camps. Sons kidnapped. Fathers killed. And the rest savaged. They claim they're bringing justice to my clan, the Gammas, for being the pets of our former oppressors. In every camp they raid, they purge us like a strain of diseased rats. Ava believes the Republic will stop the Hand, that the Reaper will come with his howling legions and smite the bastards right and good, or some such. She's always been a pretty fool. The Sovereign brought us out of the dirt and forgot us in the mud. The Reaper hasn't even been to Mars in years. Got more to worry about than his own colour, it seems. Bitten ragged by the mosquitoes, I haul the basket up onto my head and make my way to the camp. The pawing electricity of a coming storm fills the air. In the distance, across the green-stained savanna, huge thunderheads begin to bruise the sky purple and black. They're forming fast. Heaps of trash hump the violent green landscape closer to the camp. Here and there, range-slim burner boys black and dark with soot. They wear rags tied over their faces as they douse heaps of clothing and trash infected by the malaria outbreak with engine oil. The blazes choke the sky with cancerous black veins. My brother, Tiran, is out there amidst the stacks, face wrapped like the rest, squinting into a blaze for one token an hour. In the mine, all he wanted to be was a hell diver. It's all any of us wanted to be. I used to sneak downstairs late at night and don my father's work boots and his helmet and sit at the dinner table with forks and spoons pinched between my fingers, acting as if I were running a claw drill. But then my da fell into a pit viper nest and lost his legs. Soon after, Mum died and the rest of da went with her. I used to think my world permanent, that clansmen and women would always tip their heads to my father, that my mother would always be there to wake me and give me a spot of syrup before school. But that life is gone. More miners are lured up every day by the promise of freedom, and in their wake the mines are bought by big companies from big cities and manned by robots stamped with a silver heel. Just like ours was. They say we're to receive a share soon as it makes a profit. We've yet to see so much as a half-credit chit. A throaty din rises from Assimilation Camp 121 as I enter its open gates. It's a muck-soaked town of plastic, tin and dog shit. 50,000 of us now in a place meant for 20, with more coming every day. Gloomy squadrons of mosquitoes buzz low over the soup of the streets, searching for meat to suck. All the lads old enough for the free legions have gone to war. And those boys and girls who stay behind work shit jobs for food tokens so the old don't starve. No child dreams of being a hell diver anymore, because in this new world, there are no hell divers left.